Hugh Thompson is an information security guru. He's one of the big players in the world of keeping data safe and also occasionally finding out how to hack in and prove that systems aren't particularly safe. Fascinating man joins us now. His latest book is called The Plateau Effect. Hugh Thompson, lovely to have you here.
Hey, Adam. Thanks for having me.
Let's do 101 for the dummies. Information security, what do you mean?
Information security, keeping yourself safe online. And it's harder than ever, I think. You know, if you look at social media, how much of yourself you broadcast and you tell the world about, sometimes there's bad people looking at that as well as your friends and your cousins and your boss. So
because is it fair to say the average person is hopeless at this sort of stuff? The average person might have a password of 123456 and the computer makes you change the password, so you write on a post-it note and stick it on the computer because it's just too hard. Does it make you wince when you see the way a lot of people go around ignorant of how much they're exposing themselves?
It's interesting. I'd say most people make choices that are bad from a security perspective with tech because security usually trades off with other things that we make great choices on, like usability, for example. We know something's easier to use, but we're not really good at assessing risk.
Because you've done hacking yourself. You've done some famous hacking of other programs to show that they have faults.
Yeah, legally, I'll call it security testing instead of hacking.
In generic terms, how do you hack into something?
In practice now, a lot of it's done through trickery, through social engineering. So somebody will go, and if they want to break into a company or a bank, they'll look on something like LinkedIn, figure out who all the employees are, figure out what they had for breakfast, where they went on vacation, what their favorite food is, and craft an email or even a phone call that sounds so convincing that they're from the IT department and would ask you to give your credentials to be able to get in.
Earlier this year, I spoke at the TED Talks in the United States. There was a fascinating guy called James Lyon. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him.
I do know him, yeah.
James gave this talk about cybersecurity and then revealed at the end of the talk, in the 3 days that I've been at TED using just my tablet here, I can tell you the following things about the people in this room listening to my talk now. And the things he revealed were amazing. The percentage of people who use certain sorts of banks, the floor that certain people were staying on, the passwords, and he'd done no really hardcore applications, just by simple common sense to someone with a malicious purpose. He said, I could walk into this hotel now easily and get your card to your room claiming to be you. I could give you your ID details that you'd left at the hotel. I could find your ATM card in your wallet and go and withdraw as much money from just a couple of days of observing from a distance.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. You think about things like password reset, right? If you've ever been on to Yahoo or Google, click the forgot your password, almost always it's questions about your past, like where did you grow up, what's your grandfather's occupation, what's your favorite pet? That type of stuff, you'd argue 10 years ago, who'd know that? Your best friend, your cousin, they could do worse stuff to you than steal your credentials for Google. But today, almost anybody can find that information out in minutes. So I think a bunch of mechanisms that we used in the past are starting to erode. And I think the average person doesn't realize how much more at risk they are today because people are so social, so searchable than they were in the past.
Okay, so as much as you, Hugh Thompson, would wish that everyone every day was as conscious of these sort of things as you are.
I think paranoid might be the word, yeah. maybe.
You know that's not going to happen. So for my listeners now, what's the single thing an average person could do to massively heighten their own safety in the cyber world?
I think if it's one thing, it's every time you post something online, think that the person that might be reading this might want to cause you harm or your company harm. If you just kept that one thing in mind, I think it would completely change the behavior.
When we move off the personal into the bigger realms of cyber security, when I buy something online and I type in my credit card details, I'm an idiot. I'm giving someone my credit card details.
Don't be so hard on yourself, Adam.
How is it protected? How is it such that the person at the other end can't just go, oh, that's Adam's credit card number. I'll go and be him now.
So usually when you type in your card number, at least if you're on a legit site, there's an encrypted tunnel that gets set up. Think about it as this sort of private thing that nobody can peer into. as data goes from your machine to the back-end server. Mm. Now, on the back-end side, if there are folks that work for that company or outsourcers that see that credit card number and want to do something bad with it, they still can. But, you know, the truth is, even people who are exceptionally paranoid, like I'd say I am, do online shopping all the time, right? And the truth is, it's a risk-reward type of thing. I don't think somebody's specifically after my credit card number, and I think that if mine gets lost, there's 100,000 other people that are going to get hit at the same time.
The security of that entire system, the way that I can send you my details without people from the outside being able to see them, is to do with multiplying together big prime numbers and that sort of stuff.
Absolutely, yeah.
Is there a chance that people could break the codes there such that could we one day just suddenly realize, uh-oh, there is no, those algorithms have collapsed. There is no security for some period of time until we patch up the system. Could the web be generically unsafe?
Yeah, it's interesting. So there's a couple of ways that scenario you're talking about could happen. The hardest way is that somebody figures out how to factor primes very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. And that's, unless we move into quantum computing, that's probably unlikely. Although you could do a lot with a few PlayStation 3s.
Now, before the pedants ring up and go, primes can't be factored, what they're talking about here is you multiply together two massive prime numbers to get a massive number that's only got two factors.
That's right.
It's really hard to look at that supermassive number and work out its two factors.
Super hard.
If someone could do that quickly, we're stuffed.
Yeah, we're in trouble.
Yep.
Yeah, we're in serious trouble. But the truth is on that, I think at some point people will have machines that are able to do that faster than we anticipated. But probably the more likely way that things could break down, and this has really happened over the last couple of years, is somebody breaks into one of these trusted places that issues those numbers to begin with and steals them. And we've seen that. Those holders of the numbers are called certificate authorities. And we've seen a couple of them over the last few years that have been broken into. I think that's probably the single biggest risk.
Are there more good guys or bad guys out there?
I'd say there's definitely more good guys than bad guys. No question about it.
And also, a lot of the people doing the bad stuff as such are only doing it to show how smart they are. Is it fair to say a lot of the people who hack, in inverted commas, are just doing it to get a tab on themselves and say, I managed to go in there and show that system had a weakness. They're almost doing it to inform the people who create it, as opposed to malicious people who want to, as you see hyped in the movies, steal trillions of dollars and bring the world to its knees.
Yeah. You know, I think you're right. A lot of them are hobbyists. Hmm. So they learn about a technique and, you know, they see a movie and they get inspired and they think, huh, this would be interesting. But the thing that I've found that those people are usually pretty ethical. Right, so they would never walk into a 7-Eleven and steal a Snickers bar, but they have no problem going into a server and taking it down. They don't see the mapping between those two things. So I think we need to do a better job in IT and security and in computer science in general and teaching ethics.
Is it fair to say that IT and computer security, the involvement I've had with those fields, tends to skew fairly male?
Yes, I would say that's true. I'd say it's changing a bit, and we're getting a lot of folks, a lot of women in very senior IT positions now, a lot of women developers. But yeah, it's, you know, my wife used to always go with me to this huge conference, RSA, and it's interesting. She'd say one of her favorite things about the conference is that there never was a line to the women's bathroom. But I'd say that's really changing now. And you've got some massive, great, great leaders in IT that are women.
Hugh, it's been lovely to meet you and to hear some great stories about your mum. Enjoy your time in Australia.
Great. Thanks so much, Adam. Appreciate it.